4. Does the punishment fit the crime? Vibrant graffiti decorates many cities around the world. However, it is usually considered a crime. In Britain, the authorities fight illegal graffiti and tags with harsh sentences.
Barely a month goes by without a graffiti artist being sent to jail. While GCSE art students and Italian tourists pay £20 a pop for a Shoreditch street art tour, writers are receiving heavier punishments than ever before. The maximum penalty for 12 to 17-year-olds is 24 months of detention, while adults can be sentenced to up to 10 years in prison. Malicious mischief, as vandalism is legally termed, might be a non-violent, victimless crime, but for whatever reason, Britain has decided to make itself one of the only countries in Western Europe where artists can be punished with hefty custodial sentences. Whether or not you're a fan of graffiti, surely it's easy to recognise that it's an offence best punished with a fine or community service, not a prison sentence. A penalty that costs the taxpayer and inflicts far more suffering on the artist than is really deserved. Mike Robson has first-hand experience. After serving 2 years on bail, he was finally sentenced to 2 years in prison. None of the other inmates believed our sentences when we went inside. They thought I was talking shit when I said I'd got 2 years for graffiti, he told me. Initially charged with criminal damage, Robson's charge was later changed to conspiracy. The conspiracy charge is a way of ramping up the seriousness of the case, he explained. Graffiti might be putting paint on the surface of a train or a wall, but in their eyes, it was organised crime and a conspiracy to commit these attacks, as they called them. My flat was raided and they took my computer, phone, books and CDs. I wasn't allowed to stay anywhere but my own address. I wasn't allowed to talk to friends that were involved in the case or leave the country or carry pens or paint on me. As if these bail conditions weren't enough, it wasn't just Robson who got a visit from the police. My mum's house was raided, even though I didn't live there. Detectives in suits turned up to my work saying, "Don't move, we're confiscating this computer." Nobody thought this was just for graff. People definitely thought it had to be some sort of drugs or money laundering offence, or fraud, recounted Robson. They did DNA testing on our clothing, matching particles to paint on trains, facial mapping from CCTV to mugshots. Suddenly this big spiderweb started coming together. In Robson's opinion, all of this stuff is meant to mentally break you. They want you to lose your job, your relationship with your girlfriend, possibly be cut off by your parents, depending on how they take it, all while facing the possibility of going to prison and getting your name dragged through the media. You're just painting with your pals one minute, and all of a sudden you're an organised crime syndicate. Even though Robson had no previous convictions, he served a year inside, followed by a year on probation. Prison is a cold environment, and you have to mould into survival mode, he told me. There's no normal conversation in prison. It's all about crime. Even if you don't want it, you get a big schooling in everything. As such, Robson believes the whole ordeal criminalised him. You're unwittingly dragged into this other world, he said. You end up with a lot of criminal contacts. Also, it really broke my work ethic. I used to be in full-time employment, so being banged up, lying on a bed for 23 hours, talking to a crackhead about armed robbery for weeks at a time threw me off. Going through that whole process, the bail, the courts, the police, prison and probation, is really what makes you a criminal. On top of this, Robson says the rehabilitation he received was non-existent. I was even asked to paint a graffiti mural in the prison. The same thing I would have done on a train. There's no other crime that they'd make you do inside, he pointed out, adding that he believes these double standards are deeply ingrained in societal attitudes towards graffiti. For example, around the time we were sentenced, the Tate Modern flew in writers from around the world for a graffiti exhibition. These artists made their name doing the same thing we did, illegal graffiti. Once he was released from prison, Robson struggled to adapt to life on the outside. When you get out, it takes a long time to adjust, to get back into the world and out of the system, and to feel relaxed and to make amends in your personal life, he said, Plus, when people know you've done time, they do treat you differently. People are wary of you. Robson argues that there were many other ways he could have been punished. It'd make more sense to give a community order or a fine, or put someone on tag, or all of the above, rather than to lock someone up. It's a shame that these kind of sentences are now the norm for what is a relatively harmless, non-violent crime. Unfortunately, the disproportionate sentencing that Robson and many other writers receive has glamorized prison for younger generations. "They think it's a badge of honor," said Robson. "They think to be a prolific graph writer, you have to have done time. But you're supposed to be known for being prolific at what you do, not because the police have made you prolific."